I want to tell you another story about Rob, and I'm confessing. So I try my hardest to be honest with you guys as your pastor. Yesterday when he said to me, I know the bad things you've done, I'm going, is he going to share this with these guys? Because there's a lot of them, you know. But one thing that we did do at our school, it was pretty conservative. And so if you've ever done Bible college, it wasn't Bob Jones. Bob Jones was really conservative at the time. But Baptist Bible College, we had to be in. 10:30 was our curfew on weekdays. 12 was like the weekend. Wow, 12, you know. And obviously men are in their dorms and women are in their dorms. But we couldn't listen to rock and roll. And so I'd have to sneak it if I wanted to listen to that. We could not go to movies, but we did. We did. True confessions, all right? And we went to see, and he always knew that I love trivia, and you guys know that I like trivia, knowing all the stuff behind movies and pop culture and stuff like that. And so I think we went to see Beverly Hills Cop, and we're, you know, and it finishes, and the credits are starting to roll, and hey, Myers, we're going, everybody's leaving, and all the guys are leaving. A bunch of us went to this. It's illegal for us, but, you know. But anyway, so they're walking out, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm watching the credits roll. And he comes back and goes, Myers, we're going, stuff like that. And then he looks at me, looks at the screen. He sees the credits. He looks at me. He goes, this is why you win all this trivia stuff. He's right. You know, that was my thing of knowing that kind of stuff. I can't do the woodworking stuff you guys do, but I could do pretty good at a trivia contest. So. But that's, it's priorities. It's what's really important. Yeah. Like what really matters, you know. Yeah, whatever. But let me pray, and then I'll turn it over to Rob again. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us and your graciousness. And I ask you, God, to continue using Rob as he shares, that, God, you just speak through him. Help us. Each and every guy here, you know what we need. And so, God, would you do your work in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, my brother. You know, we've been having some good times remembering some things of our past, and one of the things that I remember about Pastor Mark, he played basketball on the Baptist Bible College Defenders basketball team, and I would like to say he was in the top five. He would start every game, but he didn't. In fact, I think we were winning by 25 or something, and I see Mark Myers checking in. And what was interesting, though, is that even though Mark wasn't the star, you would think that he was, because when he checked in, everyone in the stands were screaming your name. And I told you, he is the kind of guy that has the it factor. And I always appreciate that. I always want to be around him, because then I could be around the guy who's got the it factor. But we had a great run in there in that school. And you know, I do like the text messages and the calls from time to time, but this has been fantastic.
Amen.
Just seeing you. And I want to tell you guys, I've been watching you. It's what I do. And you guys have something special. And I don't know, I mean, I'm pretty sure you understand that. This is not normal. For men to get together, and I mean, this is a conference, but this is, you guys are getting together because you love each other, you love being around each other. This is something that many churches would just love to have, especially churches that are bigger than yours. They want this.
Amen.
And so embrace it, enjoy it. I appreciate it. This topic a little bit is going to be like the loan shark.
Ooh.
And this is kind of, this is a tension that we have, men, is to be is we try to do, we're taught from a very young age, do life by yourself. You need to take care of business by yourself. And if you can't take care of business by yourself, there's something wrong with you. And you can be shamed for that. And but there is a tension to be a loner. And you know, the important part of this session, it's not going to be very long. I've learned that if you can do a short sermon bad or a good sermon long, they love a bad sermon. So, you'll get to your gaze. But the most important thing in this session is that being a loner in your spiritual life is not only devastating, but it's not how God designed us. He has designed us to do life together. And the scripture that I'm going to be in, you can write this down if you want to, is Ecclesiastes 4:9. Probably know the verse that I'm talking about. And it says, Ecclesiastes 4:9 and Acts 9:26 and 27. So this is, the way I teach my Sunday school classes is I rarely do the lesson. I just have my students do the lesson. So I'll start out a little bit here for just a minute. What dangers do you think you can experience as a man being isolated from other men in your church? What dangers can we experience as men when we're isolated from others in the church? Anybody?
Apathy.
Apathy. And could you just go a little bit further on that?
If you really need other people to help spur you on or encourage you to keep going, when you don't have that, it's much easier just to become sedentary and apathetic, you know, to be not doing anything, not moving.
Right. That's a great point. The apathy. I remember when I would go to Algonquin, and I was done carrying those canoes over the portages, not portages, portages, and you're done. You want to set the canoe down and take a break. And you got people behind you saying, come on, get going, we can do this. You know, and so you're more apt to put the apathy aside and buckle down.
Make you think that you're in it by yourself, that you're the only one that's doing this thing.
Yeah, one of the prophets said, and I, only I, am faithful. Yeah, great. Anyone else?
Ineffective.
Ineffective. Could you just go a little bit further on that?
Well, if you become apathetic, you see yourself as useless and ineffective as a husband, as a father, as a just a peer with other guys. And if you don't see yourself as useful or effective, then your spiritual life goes even worse, and then that bleeds over to your physical life.
Yeah. That is a great passage of scripture that says, add to your faith. And if you don't, you're unfruitful. How would you like to get to the end of your life and, you know, you're standing before the Lord, yeah, that was an unfruitful life? How devastating it would be. Or that your children would think you were unfruitful. We could probably do this a lot, and we're going to move on. As I said, I was watching you, and I saw a couple of things. One thing was that I did not see one guy with another guy the whole time. I saw you were branching out, talking to different people. In fact, I even saw young people talking to old people. And I can say old people because I'm old people. I was walking down the road with my wife the other day, and I said, so what exactly do old people like? Because I was trying to figure out something for the senior citizens, and my wife looked at me and she says, we are old people.
Yes. Your men's group is fantastic, and I want to encourage you. If you're here, great, but if you only come to these kinds of things, you're missing out on so much more, and it will affect your family in a good way if you're with other men who are encouraging you and challenging you. It causes you to be a little more accountable. Not just to, but to other men. But I love seeing that. Keep it up. Now, one of the dangers that we have as men, and women just don't understand this. I had a friend of mine who's divorced, just divorced, and probably going to hell now. I'm not just kidding. He was just divorced, and I had a chance to go with him past Niagara Falls, and that's about 3.5 hours, and we were going to go salmon fishing. And so we're in the car for 3 hours. We fish for 8 hours. We come home for 3 hours, and my wife, we knew this man, and we were concerned about him. Obviously, she was concerned about me because she said to me, "How's Bill doing? Good?" And she said, "Well, didn't you talk a little bit about how he's feeling about his divorce?" No, I didn't ask him. This is when I was a little younger, you know. Struggling, didn't seem to be, and she's looking at you. Were you in the same car? And I don't know. Was I supposed to ask him that? And I said, "I know he has a new rod." You know, we have a tendency as men to have our relationships 10 miles wide and 1 inch deep. There's some reasons for that. What would be some reasons why having a relationship with some other guy 10 miles wide and 1 inch deep, why is that sometimes satisfying enough for us?
We don't want to appear vulnerable.
Right. We don't want to be vulnerable. I mean, it's hard enough being vulnerable with our spouse sometimes. And then throw in another guy, you know, like that. That, you know, someone.
Inadequate.
Inadequate?
Yeah.
Go a little further than
that. Well, you're just not, you feel like you don't measure up in what other people can do, and so if you don't have to go very deep, you don't have to expose those things.
Especially if you're a guy who's struggling in your marriage and all you see is another guy at church who really seems like he's got it all going on. And so you don't want to be vulnerable with that.
If I'm asking him stuff, he might ask me stuff. And I don't want to talk about what I'm struggling with because I don't want to talk about it. I feel like a failure. Maybe dropping the ball in there. So if we can keep it on this level, then I can keep sinning or I can keep doing these things that I want to give up, but I really don't want to give up.
Right. We say we want to give up and we want to pray about that even. We don't want someone else to know because what are they going to do? Hey, Miles. How's things going? And I think that men deal with it this way. And this is how I did in my youth when I was trying to figure things out. I had guys that I fished with. They were my fishing friends. I had guys that I bowled with. Yeah, I bowled. And had a good time with those guys. And then I had was in Awana, so I had my Awana guys that I talked to, and I had some online friends, Facebook, you know, the real friends that you have. And then I had some spiritual level guys, you know, some guys from church that I could, every now and then we talk a little bit about, you know, some theology stuff, we drop some bombs, maybe some cultural stuff. I had my Sunday church friends, I had breakfast friends at men's breakfast, and I had these little compartments. And I'm sure probably you can compartmentalize your friendships. And it's like, you know, we golf together. We fish together. And how many times have you been shocked? You're spending that time with your buddy that you fish with. And then you find out he's leaving the church. And you're like, where'd that come from? 10 miles wide and 1 inch deep. The scripture teaches us that God does not want us to be lone sharks, because that's really what we're doing. We're being alone in a group. Two are better than one. It's Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. Because they have good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. I'm sure that if we took a little bit of time to self-reflect, that sometime during your life, those two things are true. Where you could accomplish a task much better with someone else. And it's a little more fun, too. And you could also find a time when you fell down or your friend fell down and you could help them on. And this is talking in a way that maybe you fall down physically. It's nice to have someone help you up. You sprain your ankle on a trail and your buddy can help you make it back to the car. But on a spiritual level, you can really use someone who you can trust, who's not going to put it on the prayer sheet. They're going to put it on their prayer sheet. What a terrible thing to feel alone when you need help. I think about Acts chapter 9 and 26 and 27. You know, it's interesting about Paul. Remember Paul? Paul was the guy who was tracking down people. And he had letters from the higher-ups that he could steal your family, well, the husband and what, put him in jail for following the way. But he came to Jerusalem, Paul. He attempted to join the disciples. Who were the disciples? These were these stalwart guys. These were guys who were going to give their lives for Christ. It says, and they were all afraid of him. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. I want to encourage you guys. There are some guys who feel alone. You need to be a Barnabas. My buddy Mark was a Barnabas to me. And I'm sure that many of you have been Barnabas to other people.
Amen.
As I look out, I think I see men who care about other men and that life together. You're not this 10-mile wide, 1-inch deep, but it is such a temptation. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. This is what Pastor Mark was even saying. A couple of you mentioned it. In that, how many of you want to have someone chip away at your rough edges? How many of you say, oh man, I love it when someone chips away at my rough edges? It's a painful thing. Iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. And when you're sharpening, when you're getting sharpened, there's pain involved. Because introspective pain. I have been doing this wrong for 10 years. As a married man, I want to encourage you. Look for younger men who are married. They may seem to have it all going on, but maybe they're that ass at home, but they're not at church. Maybe they need a little pep. One of the things I noticed visiting older people was, there was this lady that was like 90 years old. She said, nobody comes to visit me. I said, who would you like to come visit you? And she started naming names. Dead, nursing home, dead. And I just said to her, sweetheart, the blessing of growing old is that you're still alive. And the bad part is your friends are dying and unable to see you. So I want to encourage you. The reason I tell you that is find someone that's older than you to help you. And find someone younger than you that can come to your funeral. Because, or visit you when you need to be visited. The 10 miles wide, 1 inch deep, doesn't help. So stay, go outside of your generation. That's where valuable ministry is done. And this group has done a great job at bringing together. Instead of having, we're going to have the 20s and 30s, we're going to have a basketball week, This is great. So, some questions, I guess, to end with. I want to encourage you to think about this. Who are the men of faith that I could actually go to not just fellowship with, but to ask them questions of how they do life? Each one of us, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And I need to ask these questions to men who are older than me. One of the things I used to do when I was I used to do premarital counseling is I would have the people, the couple, go out and find someone who's been married 5 years, someone who's been married 15 years, and someone who's been married 25 years or more. And you ask them these questions. What's the secret to your happy marriage? And most of them, as they got older, they got more needy. You need older people to help you, young guys. So who are the men of faith that you can trust and respect? I think trust is the important part. Don't share your issues with everyone. Ask yourself, in an honest way, what are my problems? Where am I failing? Ask yourself that question. And if you don't know the answer to those questions, ask him. He'll tell you. He watches you. How can I participate in men's ministries on a regular basis? Not just to get, but to give. Are you a safe person? Are you
Are you a safe person for someone else to come to?
Mm. Yeah.
Because that is gold. Grace. I just share. I had this girl in my youth group. In fact, there were two. Well, there were more than that. I'm going to talk about this. We went on a bike hike down a towpath in Akron. So we're going to have this. I used to put 25 bikes in this trailer. We'd go down there and we'd have 25 kids, and it was not a vacation. But we go down there, but these two girls, they had worked at camp the year before, and they met these boys. And they were going to meet these guys down on this towpath. So I've got my youth group, and I've got these two girls that rarely come, and they're riding their bikes. And we never see them. Mark, you go, and you say, okay, everybody's got to meet at 1 o'clock. We've got to check in. These girls were nowhere. We're supposed to be at 4:45. We're supposed to meet right here. 5:10, and they're still not there. So I'm at this funeral last month, and this girl, I love her. We'll call her Laura, because that's who she is. Laura said to me, you know, I want to tell you something. She said, you knew why we went down there. And we were late. And then we got our bikes in the trailer last. And we went down the road back to church, and my parents were there. And they were giving you the business about being 45 minutes late. And you were just talking to them, and then you kind of brought the temperature down. You were talking about all kinds of stuff, and I was just waiting for you to tell me that. And you never did. I deserve to be punished for that, and you didn't say anything. She said, that day, I'd been in a youth group for 3 years, and grace and mercy was personified, and I became a safe person for that girl, because then she could talk to me, because she knew I had her best interest in heart. Be a safe person. One of the things that, and this might jab you a little bit, it's not my intention, but how many times have you had an activity for the day? We're going to do men's prayer breakfast. And you say, it's just not my jam. No, they don't say that anymore. It's just not my thing. I want to encourage you. Pokemon wasn't my thing until it was my son's thing. My favorite is Jigglypuff, so but I didn't care about Pokemon. I cared about the kid. And you guys have done that for your own children. As in men's ministries, it doesn't matter if it's your jam or not. Because there are men that matter more than that 2.5 hours that you can do anything you want to. Just want to encourage you guys. I am positive that many of you are doing this. It's just a good reminder. 10 miles wide, 1 inch deep makes you a glowing shark. Don't let it happen. You want me to pray? All right, guys, let's go. Lord, you are so patient with us. We're going to be perfect in 100 years. And we're going to have things figured out in 100 years. But Lord, help us this year. Help us to be better husbands and better better friends. Not just so that someone can say, boy, you're just a great guy. But Father, that we would live our lives, that we would walk worthy of our salvation. And think about other people, and not just ourselves. Thank you for being so patient with us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.